We started a journey about 2 months ago, I guess, church-wide. Personally, for me, it's been over a year. And it is a journey that we have entitled Every Generation. I couldn't help but smile when you think about every generation. We have talked about how that what we want to do in our facilities is so that we can impact every generation and then also strategically position ourselves to reach the next generation. Well, yesterday I was fortunate enough and had so much fun to run in the Vulcan Run, all right? And it's the 10K race, right? The 6.2 miles. And there were a lot of our members that were there and different people. And as you stand there and you watch all these people milling around, the thousands to run this race, you see all different ages. I mean, there are children running over there, and there's teenagers, and then there's young adults, and then there's median adults, I think that's what I am, and then there are senior adults. There's all different ages. And it was like every generation was a part of it. But my favorite quote was Don Brown. I'm looking out there to see Don. I see him out here. I know he's here. And Don came up to me and he said, "You know, I'm going to be running." And back there. And I see him. "Did you make it?" I knew he would. Don's 80 years old. And he says, "You know, I'm going to run." And he started giving me his history of times he's run. And then he looks at me right before the race starts. He says, "You know, I'm a little slower than I used to be." I said, "You're 80. What do you mean? You're getting ready to run 6.2 miles on hills. And you're talking about, I'm a little bit slower than I was in the past." Wasn't it great to be able to see all these generations that could come together? And our hope has been, as we've gone through this time of preparation, that it would be every generation that would come together. Everything from our children to our students, to single adults, married adults, senior adults, all different ages, to say, "I want to be a part of this." In fact, our children took on a challenge that knew our goal was 14 million. And so what they did was they took on 1,400. And I think the latest word that I got before Lisa went out of town is that they had reached their goal of 1,400. And so they were already gathering money, and they said, "We want to take this 1,400 and give it as like a deposit or a seed gift or so for the 14 million." It's exciting to see that happen. Well, let me tell you the verse that we've talked about that really kickstarted this, and it's Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, the verse says this. He says, "Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Consecrate yourselves. This is what hopefully has been happening in the life of our church. And you're supposed to consecrate, set ourselves apart, pray to the Lord, "What is it that you want me to do?" And it says, "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And it's been our prayer that as a church, that we would come together, make commitments in such a way that it would give God the glory and would give him the honor. And so that's our hope. And so today, later on in our service, as we close out the service, we'll give you the opportunity to do that and to step forward and make those commitments. So how do you lead up to this point? I tell you what, I have really struggled and I thought about this. And so I want to share with you a message out of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And the message is standing on the shore or stepping in the boat. And in Matthew chapter 8, it's an interesting story when you see that Jesus is at Peter's house. And Peter lives right there in Capernaum, and he lives right off the sea, and Jesus was there. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and a lot of people came, and he did healing and teaching throughout the night. And then when he got up the next day, in verse 18, it says this, "Now when Jesus saw a great crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side." So here he is, there's a big crowd, he's got his disciples here, and he says, "Guys, I tell you what, let's get in the boat, and let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." And a scribe came up, a scribe, he's a teacher of the law. And he said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and they woke him saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And then he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Now, I want you to, I'm going to take all of this story and I'm going to break it into two types of people. There are either people that are standing on the shore or there are people that are stepping in the boat. There's a group of people standing on the shore. People that have been following Jesus. They've been listening to his teaching. They've watched his miracles. They've been a part of what's been going on. And they're just thronged around him over here. And as they've been following and listening, all of a sudden Jesus says, "Okay, guys, let's go. We want to get ready to get on the boat. And we want to go to the other side." Two men come out of the crowd and make some bold claims. The first guy comes out of the crowd and he says that he's a scribe. He's a teacher of the law. And he steps right up and he steps up and he looks at Jesus and he says, "Man, I'm on your team. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll follow you no matter where you go. I'm all over it." And everyone around him said, "You're the man. Yeah, I like that commitment. Yeah, you talk a good talk. You're the man. Yeah, yeah, I'm there. I'm a player. I'm on the team. Feeling good." So Jesus looked at him. He said, "Well, let me just share something with you. You know, the foxes have holes. The birds have nests. But I'm going to tell you, I'm the Son of Man. I don't have even a place to lay my head down. And what I'm telling you is I don't have a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house. What I'm telling you is that we're not going to be staying in the nice hotels. What I'm telling you is I really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow from where I'm going to rest and where I'm going to be laying down. And if you want that, I want you to come on." Now, the way this passage is written is this guy didn't come on. What he did was he made the statement, "I'll follow you wherever it takes." And then Jesus all of a sudden says, "Okay, there's going to be a little sacrifice and a little bit of commitment." And he goes, "Whoa, hey, don't know about that. I kind of like hanging around the seashore. I love hearing the teachings. I love seeing the miracles happen. I love to see lives change. But hey, once you start talking sacrifice and commitment, I start backing up and I start backing off." And so he just stayed on the shore. There's another man that came up. And the second man, when he came up, all of a sudden, he's got another statement. But let's zero in on that first guy. You know what the first guy said? He says, "The cost is too high for a sacrificial commitment." He says, "Just too high. I'll follow you wherever you want me to go." Jesus said, "Okay. It's going to be tough out there." He goes, "That cost's a little bit high. I don't think I can do that." So you're going to end up standing on the shore if you think that the cost is too high for a sacrificial commitment. The second man came up to him, and for him, the timing was not right for a sacrificial commitment. You ever been there? Look what he says. He says, "Another of the disciples," that means these guys that are following him, not one of the 12, but one of these followers, "said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.'" So what Jesus is saying, "Guys, I want you to come and follow me." And this guy says, hold it. "I'd like to go, but first I got to bury my father." Now, I remember when the first time I read that, I said, that's a pretty good excuse. And Jesus comes back and he says, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury the dead." I'm going, ooh, that's kind of harsh. I mean, we got the funeral coming up in a few days. But you know, as I studied that, what I understood that meant is when he says, "First, let me bury my father," what that meant was my father's getting older. And as my father's getting older, I need to stick around because when he dies, I need to take care of the family business. Which means it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years that your father would die. So he's not like on his deathbed, it just means he's getting older. And you see, the timing's just not right because I've got to get that squared away first over here. And I couldn't help but think about, when you talk about this, but your timing not right, and I'm going to wait and someone gets older. I think I was probably around 12 years of age, and there was a 75th birthday party for my grandfather. I was just your typical 12-year-old, and I didn't want to go. It was out of town, and I remember saying I didn't want to go, and I remember my mom put her arm around me, bent down, looked at me, and she said, "Danny, this may be his last birthday party, so you need to be there." I said, "Okay." My grandfather lived to be 101, okay? So I got 26 of those or so, right? This could be the last one there. Now, what Jesus is saying is this guy is saying, hey, the timing's just not right. You know, dad's getting older or so, and I don't need to back away at this time. It's just the timing's not right. Well, you know, when we come to something like an every generation or any type of capital campaign, Every person here can come up with a reason why the timing's not right. Hey, the economy is fluctuating. The stock market, you know, it's been uncertain. My kids, I got kids that are going to college. My health is not real good. We got a new baby that's on the way. The house needs some repairs. We really need a new car. And every person here could stand up and give their own reason. I've got a scoop for you. There's never a good time for sacrifice. There's never a good time for sacrifice. I've been married almost 30 years, and there has never been a morning where I have awakened, looked over to Janice, I said, you know what, honey? Hey, today is a good day to sacrifice. I think we're going to sacrifice today. What do you think? I'm fired up for it. It's never a good day. And because whenever that feeling of sacrifice creeps in, your logic will begin to give you all kind of reasons why it's just not going to work. And that's what this guy did. Man, I'm ready to follow you, but it's just not the right time. Well, my concern is that when God calls us to do something and we begin to hesitate, then all the what ifs, the mights, the couldas, the shouldas, the yeah buts, all that gets in our way and we miss out what it is that God has for us. And what we do is we just end up standing on the shore. Now, we're going to be supportive from a distance, and we'll be there when he's teaching, and we'll wave as he gets in the boat and moves on, but we're just going to stand right here on the shore. Well, for us in our church, this has come the time where it's time for us to make a sacrificial commitment. It is the time to take that next step. It's the time to step in the boat, to take a church to a new level in ministry, to improve our facilities so that we can impact every generation and position ourselves so that we can reach the next generation. You see, these two men were not fringe members. You can't read this passage and say, well, they really didn't know much of what Jesus talked about. It called them followers, disciples, not one of the 12, but other followers. They'd heard his teaching. They'd seen the miracles. They got up close and personal. They'd even touched the garment. And then when he asked for some commitment, then they backed away. And they said, you know, I really like this shoreline. I just want to keep walking along the shore. You see, it's a lot different standing in the crowd along the shore, hearing the message of commitment, than it is coming face to face with the commitment while Jesus is motioning you to get in the boat. Talking to me. Now? I don't know about that. You got a group that's standing on the shore. But you know what? You got a group that stepped in the boat. In fact, it's found on verse 23, it says, and when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. So Jesus went and got in the boat first, and then his disciples followed him. Now, I was just thinking about it. All right, let's say you're one of those 12, and you're pretty fired up when he said, hey, we're going to go across the other side. And you said, okay. And then all of a sudden, these people began to ask questions. He says, you know, foxes, you know, they've got their holes, and birds got nests, but we don't, Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And you're saying, really? And thought about that, John. What do you think? And follow me now. Let the dead bury the dead. This is taking first priority. Ooh. And then Jesus gets in the boat and looks around and says, you guys coming? Guess what? Even after hearing more about that commitment, the 12 went and they stepped in the boat. And I'm telling you what, as we come to the close of the message, you're going to see they're excited that they did. Standing on the shore, stepping in the boat. Many today will be stepping in the boat. I want to share with you just two testimonies from our church. When we first introduced Every Generation, the first email I ever received right after we first introduced it was from a young couple. And what they did was they shared how they regretted missing out on Journey of Faith. They said, we were here with Journey of Faith, and we had a desire to make a commitment to it, but on the commitment Sunday, we were out of town. And then we were out of town another week, and then by the time we got back in, we heard that, you know, you'd kind of raised enough for that phase, so we just never gave anything. And, you know, we didn't have any kids, so, you know, that second floor part wasn't as important, but we felt good about it, but we just never made it. We just kind of like standing on the shore. And then the email says, we've regretted missing Journey of Faith. Let me just read excerpts. I heard great testimonies from people as to how God was working miracles in their life through this giving program, and I was always jealous that I was missing out on that. I say all this to say that we have anticipated this program since 2001. God has given us another chance to put our faith in Him and allow Him to work a miracle in our church and our life, and that excites us to no end. We plan to make up for the lost time and journey of faith with every generation. We are excited and praying about November 4th when we can be a part of the group that chooses to cross the Jordan at flood stage and see God do great things. That's a good word. We're excited about it. So then I got an email. It's kind of like bookends. The first one I got, then the last email. Email of family is going to be out of town. And I sent this email. And it says, during prayer one Sunday in church, my husband had an argument with God. Now that's great, okay? We're here in church and we're fighting with God. That'll happen. And it says, he had an argument with God about the amount that we were going to pledge. God's number was 5 times greater than our original number. That'll cause an argument right there, won't it? Coming home from church, he told me about the new number and his conversation with God. He says, I was thrilled, but we were both nervous and asking how. With our situation, we thought this is not the best time for us to jump out on that limb of faith. But what an incredible story. Watch this. But after starting with God's amount and working backwards, we developed a plan to sell some real estate we were planning to use for retirement. This is different than the testimony I gave you a few months ago. Long story short, God won. And for the first time in our lives, we both feel we understand obedience. For the first time, we both feel like we understand obedience. Now, folks, I don't know how hard I can preach this and tell you. It is not about giving money to build a building. It is being obedient to God, stepping out in faith, opening hands and hearts and saying, Lord, what is it that you want to do through me, through this church, to advance your kingdom? This couple's got it. And how excited they are about the obedience. There are a lot of folks that have stepped out, that are stepping out in the boat. I just want to share an updated figure. And this will be the last figure you hear until November 18th. Don't call me, don't pressure me, don't twist my arm, don't tell me you'll take me out for Mexican food. Well, take me out for Mexican food, but I may not give you the answer. Let me show you. 5 years ago, 2002, Journey of Faith. Advanced commitments, we had 150 pledges and $2.4 million. The total amount that we gave to Journey of Faith for the whole church body was $6.5 million, okay? Let me tell you where we are today. 2007, every generation, we have 150 pledges, $6.5 million. Now, what that means is that the same number of pledges, but already $4.1 million more. We have right now, just from advanced pledges, the amount of what we as a church collected all of 2002 for Journey of Faith. That's great news. Our goal is $14 million. 14 minus 6.5, 7.5. That's a strong number. And where that number gets met is by a total congregation of saying, I'll give something, whatever it is that God's placed on my heart. And that's why today will be so critical, is that we'll encourage you, if you've got that commitment ready, to turn that commitment card in and to say, I think we can do this. Now, it's an amazing start as to where we are right now. And for people that are wanting to step into the boat, and the question is, will you help us make it happen? You say, well, Danny, when you step in the boat, what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to tell you three things that will happen when you step in the boat. Same three things that happened to these men right here. Number one, it will stretch your understanding of who Jesus is. It will stretch your understanding. Whenever you take a step of faith, it will stretch your understanding of who Jesus is. Now, think about these 12 men. Jesus says, I want you to follow me and get in the boat. Everyone else stayed on the shore. These men, they stepped out and they stepped in the boat and they went out and they're on the Sea of Galilee and we're following Jesus. And so everything, I guess, is going to be great, isn't it? No. There's a huge storm that comes up And when this huge storm comes up, they feel like they're getting ready to drown. And so they come to Jesus and they say, wake up, do you not care that we're getting ready to perish? And he stands up in the book of Mark, he looks at it and he says, peace be still. And when he spoke the words, the wind and the waves just calmed down. It just calmed down. Hey, you know those places where you go, they've got wave machines, you know, and they turn the machine on and the waves all happen. Then all of a sudden they turn the machine off and everything calms down. Like Jesus, he's in charge of the wave machine, okay? And when everything was blowing and the wind was blowing and the waves were going and the boat was tossing and turning, he stands up and he says, peace be still. And according to scripture, it just calmed down. It didn't gradually get better. It just calmed down. And what was their response? Whoa, dude. Shazam. I mean, it says they looked at each other and they marveled and they said, what sort of man is this? Because they knew the Old Testament well enough to know it says that God is the one that controls the wind and the waves. And yet here Jesus stands up and he controls the winds and the waves, and all of a sudden their eyes are open and they see a side of Jesus that they'd never seen before. They'd seen an exhibition of power that they'd never seen before. And all of a sudden they have got a better understanding of who Jesus is. There's a sentence that I think can summarize this, and that is that Jesus reveals more of himself and his power to those who are willing to sacrifice. You see, the guys that were standing on the shore never saw that. They may have watched the Weather Channel that night and saw that a squall came up in the Sea of Galilee. But they never saw Jesus calm that storm. They missed it. They're on the shore. They're standing here. They're fellowshipping with each other. But the guys that stepped in the boat got to see Jesus reveal himself and a side of him they'd never seen before and had even a greater understanding. Second of all, you step in the boat, it will strengthen you to face the challenges of life. It will strengthen you to face the challenges of life. These people that were standing on the shore, I just hurt for them because they never saw Jesus calm a storm. Never saw it happen. And you know what happens? With these 12 men, whatever comes into their life, whatever storm comes in, whether it be a physical storm, emotional, spiritual, mental, whatever it may be, when the storms of life come crashing in, they know that they have a Savior that is strong enough and powerful enough to help to overcome those storms. He can calm that storm. How do you know? I was there on the boat when he did it. And you bring up whatever problem it is and whatever problem comes into my life and whatever challenge is there. And I'm saying, how am I going to handle this? And I think, okay, let me turn to the Lord. Can he handle it? I was there on the boat when all the storms were raging. He stood up and said, peace be still, and it happened. And I'm telling you what, if he can do that, he can work out whatever difficult situation I'm going through. He can do it. Not for these people on the shore. They'd never seen it before. Storms come into their life and they're saying, well, I hope God can do something about it. I just don't know. Man, if you'd only stepped in the boat. Now, if you interviewed those 12 guys and said, would you like to go through a storm like that again? They'd say, no way. But let me ask you this. Was it worth it to be on that boat when Jesus calmed the storm? Says, you bet. And I'd do it again. There are going to be storms that every one of us is going to go through. Whether you take this step of faith or not, you're going to have storms in your life. I'm going to have storms in my life. But what I want to do is I want to be so prepared in my walk with God that I have taken steps of obedience. And when I've taken those steps of obedience, he has revealed things about himself. And he has been able to show me that firsthand I have seen him handle challenges of life. And that he can help me handle those challenges. These guys missed out. And the 12 didn't. Let me tell you the very last thing. And that is, when you step in the boat, it'll set you up to take a big step of faith in the future. It'll set you up to take a big step of faith in the future. You know, everybody always talks about, you got to get out of the boat. Have you heard people say that? You got to get out of the boat to walk on the water. Anybody ever heard that? You got to get out of the boat to walk on water. Well, I want to take it a step further. You got to get in the boat first before you can get out of the boat to walk on water. There's no picture of anybody, except for Jesus when he came walking across the waters, that started at the shore and began to walk out on the ocean. Peter, when he did it, was sitting in a boat on the lake. And he had to get out of the boat to walk on the water. But before he could get out of the boat, he had to get into the boat. And so when Jesus says, I want you to follow me, they made a decision to get in the boat with him. And they continue to get in the boat with him. And if you go to the story as to when Peter walked on the water, it was because Jesus had told him, get in the boat and go to the other side. And they got in the boat and they started going the other side. And every time we take steps of obedience and steps of sacrificial commitment, then what happens is God sets you up to take even a bigger step of faith in the future. Now see, for some of you, this is a huge step, what you're getting ready to do. And I'm not going to minimize it all, no matter what the amount of money is that you have written down. I know from what people have shared with me, some strong commitments that they have made. And some of those strong commitments are not high dollar numbers. There may be lower dollar numbers, but there's a strong sense of sacrifice and commitment. I understand that. And what I'm saying is that when you take that step of faith, all of a sudden, God has begun to provide a new avenue for you to take even bigger steps of faith. Because once you've taken that one step of faith and you see that he is faithful to you, then all of a sudden he's going to give you an opportunity to take another big step of faith. And see, that, to me, that's kind of the fun part of the Christian life. Does that excite you? I mean, it does me. I don't want to go through life bored. I don't want to go through just everything just plain vanilla. And God doesn't want that. God wants to stretch us and let us take this step of faith. And he says, listen, I want to prove myself to you. I want to prove myself. Okay, let's take this step of faith. God, use you in another great way. Take another step of faith. God, use you in another great way. For our church, this is our opportunity to take that step of faith and say, okay, God, we're ready for you to use us in ways that can only be explained by the fact that you did it. And that's my hope and prayer. You know, we ask people to give leadership commitments through the summer. I've already had a couple people contact me and say, you know that leadership commitment I made in the summer? Nah, we want to increase it. I'm just kind of getting amazed over steps that people are taking. I'll just tell you again, I'm just going to tell you my own story as to what's happened the last couple of days. I shared with you what we were going to do commitment-wise. I put a pencil to it. I mean, I figured out, I projected income, everything that would be coming in from teaching, from all these other things, every source I could figure, added it all up. I told you I was going to give percentages, and I figured all that stuff out, and I came up with a bottom line number. I told Janice last night, I said, I think that number may be a little low for what I want to do. And I said, so I want to take it a little bit higher, and I said, there's a gap right here that I really don't know where it's going to come from. I said, if I have to take 4 years to pay this, I'll take 4 years. That's fine. I said, or I'm just going to trust God and say, maybe God will provide something that can help me to do that. I said, but there has to be this little faith element to add into there. And that's just where I am. And that's where a number of people are. And so what I want to encourage you to do as we come to the close of our service, I want to encourage you to step in the boat. And say, God, I want to be a part of this. I want to step in the boat. I want you to help us to prepare to cross over the Jordan at flood stage and do something that can only be explained by the fact that God did it. And this is how we're going to do that. You've got your commitment cards there. Either you brought a commitment card from home or you have a commitment card that's in your worship guide. If you have already turned a card in, I still want you to be a part of this. And you can write on your card and say, already turned it in, same amount. If you forgot the amount, you can write in an amount, and we'll take the higher of the two. Okay, no, I'm sorry, no. You just write in, say, hey, you've already got my card on file, praise God, whatever, and do that. And you take the card and you just place it in the envelope. And in just a moment, we're going to stand. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And Michael and the choir are going to begin to sing Mighty to Save. And it is going to be a song the words are going to be on the screen. And I encourage every one of us to be singing this. And then I'm going to ask you in a visible demonstration to take that card and just place it in a basket. If you're down on the floor, we've got baskets all the way across here. If you're in the balcony, you can see we've got tables there, got a table there, and we've got a table right here. If you're in the fan bank, we've got some tables there and tables there. For the choir, they've got some baskets that'll be passed for y'all. Orchestra have got baskets, so, I mean, there's a basket for everyone. And what we want you to do is just to to make that commitment. Stand up, place the card in there. If you're a guest of ours, you don't need to be a part of this. Now, you can stand up and you can rejoice and you can sing the songs with us. But don't feel uncomfortable on that at all right? And this is our time that we've prayed about, and our time to make that step and to make that commitment. So I want to ask you to stand at this time, and I want to lead us in a word of prayer. And following that, Michael begins singing, and let's begin to take our commitments and give them to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that we have an opportunity to give of a financial sacrifice. We understand, Lord, that you gave your life for us, the ultimate sacrifice. And it's our prayer, Lord, that with willing hearts, that we come to you, hearts open, hands open, and placing our gift before you. Lord, it's been our prayer from day one that whatever the response of this congregation is, that it would be one that could only be explained by the fact that God did it. May you be glorified through the steps of obedience and sacrifice that we make. And may our response be one in which we look to you and say, Lord, I do this because I love you and because I want to be a part of what you're doing through this church to impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.